From NPR and WBUR, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. It's Here and Now, and a very happy Thanksgiving to you. We're going to start this hour with this thought shared by President Obama today in his weekly address.
Nearly four centuries after the Mayflower set sail, the world is still full of pilgrims, men and women who want nothing more than the chance for a safer, better future for themselves and their families.
Obama making oblique reference there to Syrian refugees. The president reiterated that refugees undergo significant screening before gaining admission to the United States. And he also praised Americans whom he says have opened up their homes to people fleeing the brutality of ISIS. Well, we want to take a few minutes now to hear the story of one person who's made a very similar journey. His name is Paul Okot, and he's originally from southern Sudan. In the early 1980s, Sudan plunged into civil war. The nation was split largely along religious lines between the mostly Muslim north and the mostly Christian south. An estimated 2 million people have died in the war, and more than 4 million have been displaced. Paul Okot is one of those people. He's 27 years old now and lives in Portland, Maine. He was resettled in the United States 2 decades ago, so you've got the math right. He was just 7 years old when he came to America. Paul joins us now. And Paul, first let me say happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you.
Well, Paul, you were just little when your family fled to a refugee camp in Uganda, right?
Yeah, that is correct.
Mm-hmm. How did they get there? How did you get there?
We actually walked. We walked a very long time, days, weeks. There was still a lot of rebels that controlled the main roads. We walked through jungle, the shrubs and bushes and long grass, and tried to get to the border of Uganda and hopefully get on top of a lorry and go to the refugees camp.
And you were just, what, how old were you actually at the time?
I was six to 8 months.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I was actually born, I was born in the shrubs and during one of those episodes where the rebels would come into the village. So I was born in between the tall grass, and my mom gave birth to me. Then 6 or 8 months, we made our way to Uganda.
Paul, I want to be sure I understand this correctly. You're saying so when your mother actually gave birth to you, she had to hide out in the tall grass because there were gun battles going around?
Yeah, there was gun battles, guns flying, and people losing their lives. And my mom was giving birth to me at the exact same time, and they used the blade of the grass to cut an umbilical cord and set me free, and that's how I came into the world.
And is your mother the one who carried you to Uganda?
My mom was around for a while. Then at some point she got captured. Then when she got captured, my aunt took care of us and took care of me and my siblings.
Do you know what happened to your mother after that?
The details of that story, we never find out. We never found her.
Oh, Paul, sorry. I'm a mother, too, so I just give me a second here. Okay. And you were just a baby. And so
yes.
Then, so you were in this refugee camp in Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that like?
It was a struggle. I was always sick. I always had malaria. And I remember one time I was so hungry and I was crying. I haven't eaten for days. And I just ate like a muffin and had a drink of water the whole day. And I was just so hungry and I was crying and I had migraine. I was sick all the time. And yeah, it was rough.
So you were there for years, as you're saying, facing all these challenges. But you went through the process to be admitted to the United States as a refugee. Can you tell us about that? Like, because that's such a question for people now. They're wondering, what's the screening process? And you went through something similar. So what was that like?
Sure. I think the process is very rigorous. It takes a very long time. They have to get other people to vouch for my family, and then from there they will set up an interview to go to the embassy in Uganda, where you will be medically tested. You'll be interviewed several times. Then you have to wait months and months while they interview other people too regarding your family and where they come from.
And, I mean, you were just seven, right? So did you even know what America was or is?
No, all I knew was that's the place that I needed to go. And I remember when we landed in JFK and they asked me, where are you coming from? I said, America. And he said, where are you going? I said, America. And I didn't understand the question, but all I knew was America. That's where I needed to be.
Huh. Well, so I understand that during the vetting and interview process, you were told that you were going to settle in Maine, which feels about as far from Sudan as one could possibly imagine, and that you finally made the trip to the United States in the middle of winter.
Yeah, and that's correct. Yeah, I remember we were on a plane. We were looking at all the snow, and we always joke about it because we really honestly thought the snow was salt. And one of my siblings, like, why does America need so much salt on the ground? And we left all our belongings behind, and we just had what we were wearing and T-shirts. I had a T-shirt, and I remember the airline people had to give us their blanket because it was so cold and we were so unprepared, and we just wrapped up in blanket and just standing there.
Wow. I wonder, did you feel safe when you first got here?
Yeah, yes, good. Definitely. I felt safe, yeah.
But it had to be a huge transition, though. I mean, what were those first years really like?
First year, it was tough. It's getting to school and try to get into school. Didn't speak English that well, and you know, and not knowing what people are saying, and it's a challenge. And having people laugh and not knowing whether they're laughing at you or laughing with you, it's a challenge.
Hmm. Well, Paul, of course, we're talking right now in a time where there is so much controversy over refugees, right? In Europe, in the United States, people saying that that maybe we shouldn't be taking in refugees without an even more aggressive vetting process. Mm-hmm. What do you think when you hear all this?
I think we can make the process safe. I think it's the wrong approach to deny other refugees the possibility of settling and having a happy life, because if we don't open our doors, that create desperateness. And I think overall is giving victory to the people that are terrorizing us and terrorizing people all over the world.
And also, Paul, your family's Catholic. So what's your response to some people who are saying we should only let Christian refugees from Syria into the country?
Well, again, that's creating, right? That's creating a division for the same kind of hatred and the same kind of act to happen, right? Then the extremists can just create propaganda just on that. So that doesn't sound like a good approach.
What do you think about the word refugee even? I mean, do you identify as a refugee? Is that how you like to be known? Or
no, I like to keep it simple. I just want to be a person that, you know, was placed in this earth to strive and do better and help others. And the word refugees to me is actually, I find it shameful because it comes with negative feelings to me. It's something that reminds me of running away from something. So I find the word refugees, I don't identify by it. I just don't feel comfortable being in that category. But I do know my history.
You know, Paul, I have to say the image that you shared with us of your mother giving birth to you in the middle of a war zone and cutting the umbilical cord to her newborn son with a blade of tall grass, that will be seared into my mind forever, because I see that and then I hear you today, you know, a graduate of Bates College, a man who's founded his own business that assists other refugees and immigrants, someone who's even run for a school board. You've come so far, and I wonder what you think your story means to people now. Why do you think it's important for people to know how far you've come?
we share our stories because we want people to know that it's possible. It's possible to come from a war-torn place and make something of yourself. And it doesn't matter where you come from. It's possible to just strive for anything. And I think America gives you that opportunity. You just got to focus and focus on your goal.
Well, Paul, today, as we mentioned early is, of course, Thanksgiving.
Sure.
How are you going to be celebrating this day?
Well, I'm part of a big South Sudanese community. We do celebrate it, and we usually get together as a community and play music, have a mixture of turkey and traditional food, and just put the music on, eat, dance, and just have a good time.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful celebration. Paul Okot, it was a true pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, and happy Thanksgiving.
You as well. Thank you so much.